You're listening to the Bring It Home podcast presented by JustBringItHome.com.
Welcome to the Bring It Home podcast. My name is Steve Hauser and I'm with Brian Roden. And
we're back.
We're back.
Still, you know, 12 hours, 13 hours apart.
Yes. And And we have been through a lot in the last 6 months that have kept us from getting online to talk again. Brian, tell them just a little bit about what you and your family have been doing.
Well, we owe the listeners another apology, or maybe I do.
An explanation.
Yeah, and an explanation is warranted. So there's been about a 4 or 5 month hiatus to the podcast, and it's because we moved again, and so we are no longer in sunny, tropical, hot South Florida, but we are in the beautiful motherland of Northern Alabama. So we moved home, we moved home. Lindsay and I are both from this general area, a little more north of where we both grew up, in North Alabama, just to the south of the Tennessee state line. And we are here, and we are finally adjusted. We moved here in September, or late September. And so here we are. We're adjusted. We are at home, and home for a while. Hopefully, Lord willing.
So you lived through a hurricane, and then you took off and went back home to Alabama, where now the major problem you have is trying to stay off your southern accent.
That's right. That is right. You got to keep it from coming back. I dodged two major hurricanes last year, and that wasn't the reason why we moved, but . They have tornadoes, so it's
different. Yeah, from one natural disaster to another.
That's it. Yeah.
But I was worried about you for a little bit with some of those hurricanes coming through Florida, and now you're moved though. You're settled in, and we're gonna increasingly hear your drawl coming back. So that will be fun. All you listeners, start commenting for us when you hear that Brian's drawl is back, and we can all make fun of him together. So that would be good. So if you want to know where you can comment, is go to Facebook and go search Bring It Home Facebook group, and you can join us at the community there. We're always talking about family worship, and we're always putting down resources and also sharing all the different resources that we have at Bring It Home. And so go and check it out there and make fun of Brian's growing southern accent while you're there. But anyway, we're getting back together for the first time. So this is really the first time that you and I have talked all this time. And so just give me a quick synopsis. How did your Christmas go? What was Thanksgiving like? New Year's, anything, just something. Give us a story.
Well, quick synopsis is we, for the first time in three or four years, we had Christmas and Thanksgiving and not New Year's, but with our families, and we didn't have to either drive for 12 hours overnight or fly for 14 hours to the other, from different hemispheres. So, which is one thing is nice, because I don't have to take off of work and vacation just to go see family. So I can just drive down 2 hours and see, you know, family, relatives, friends. And now I'm thinking, wow, I can actually take vacation instead of just taking vacation to go see family. But it was very refreshing to see everybody and just to ride down the highway of a couple hours. So it was enjoyable, and again, it was refreshing, and it's already 2018. It's wild. So how was yours?
So when you get back to where you're with your family for so long and they haven't seen the kids forever and they haven't especially had Christmas like this together, do they just go overboard and the girls just have too many things and too many presents to open or whatever? Do they just love on them and lavish on them too much? Do you experience
way too much? And for all if for my mom and dad, if you listen to this, I think I probably told you face to your face that's a lot of stuff. I drove home from everybody's house I couldn't see out of my rearview mirror, And it was all the girls, all for the girls. So yeah, it was almost like Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving, Happy New Year, and Welcome Home, all in wrapped up into one. Yeah.
Well, then you have to tell them that there's no birthday presents and like don't get us anything for the next five years. Yeah, we had a similar thing. So we went home this summer and we got a chance to be home for birthday parties and things like that. And they all did these big celebrations. But then we came around to Christmas this year, and I think everybody felt like they felt bad that we were not here for Christmas. We had been there for birthdays, but we weren't there for Christmas. And so, like, we have a guy here who receives our packages and brings them, and he was just Santa for like 2 months for us. And it just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And we were like, what are we going to do with all of this? Like, we have a picture of the aftermath of Christmas where, I mean, just – you couldn't even find Simon. It was so deep.
Your kids go missing, you know.
Just the paper was everywhere, and so it was an exciting Christmas for the kids, and we had a good time. And I mean, Thanksgiving is always my favorite holiday. We get a chance to start having a special period of Thanksgiving where we spend a lot of time thanking God together as a family going into Christmas. And so it's always a special time. And so we had a great opportunity to be a part of a lot of worship services at church and allow the kids to experience some of the special services for Christmas. And so we were excited about that. And then we came into the new year, like you said, we're already in 2018. And I think everybody does this, and we posted a blog post about this right at New Year's too, but everybody seems to begin to think about what can we do new in the new year? What can we change about ourselves and about our family and about the way that we interact with our kids, maybe the way we disciple our kids from 2017 to 2018. And so today I thought, and actually this is your idea, Brian, so I shouldn't take credit for it, but we thought that it would be cool to start talking about maybe some of the resources that we use and that we plan to use in 2018 to help disciple our kids, both from a help them learn scripture and help them learn about worshiping God, but also just helping them in kind of the broader areas of discipleship where we connect them to the church even, and we connect them to church history, and we connect them to what it means and the long history that we have as Christians. And so let's start there. Let's start with that question. What are some things that you use now and you're going to continue to use in 2018, or what are some new resources you'll be using in 2018 to help with discipleship?
Yeah, so we're going to drop titles here. So, and Steve will do like some show notes or a spinoff blog with maybe some links and some titles and authors and stuff. So if you miss the references we make, then Steve will have some stuff posted on the site.
Just a side note here, you can hear who does most of the work just by the way that he told it. You who's going to be doing it. We'll have Gabby do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, one of the things that my wife and I, you know, we have three daughters. Now in this time of the podcast, life of the podcast, they're 5, 3.5, and 18 months. So they're still little, still young. So in our discipleship of our daughters, we try to kind of, you know, as you should, do it holistically. And so in this podcast, we've talked about family worship through singing and scripture reading and prayer. And so for this one, we're going to kind of take and be more of a pragmatic approach to family worship and discipleship is what kind of resource do we use to help disciple our children in every facet of their lives. And so for us, back in October, I don't think we did a podcast on it, but Lindsay and I took the three girls to Europe, to London on a trip, and just a kind of a sightseeing trip for Lindsay and I. You know, not a whole lot for the girls to do, but we did expose them to some various places and events where some huge things happened. We were in Oxford, and I sent a picture of this to Steve, but the girls didn't realize the significance of where they're standing. But in the city of Oxford, in the university, there's a big opening in the pavement in the middle of the road, and there's a cross there, and it's kind of inconspicuous. If you're not really looking for it, you'll miss it. it looks like a big pothole. It really looks like a big pothole in the road. And if you go up to it, it says, oh, Oliver Cromwell was burned at the stake right here. And you know, if you know about Oliver Cromwell, he was kind of a big catalyst in getting the reformational vision of the reformers in the continent into England, and therefore for you know he was a huge influence in the Book of Common Prayer and the composition of the Book of Common Prayer for the Church of England, and he was a huge influence in getting the Church of England to adopt reformed theology as the theology of that church. So he was put to death by the Counter-Reformation there at that moment. So it spurred Lindsay and I on to try to teach the girls, as little as they were, about church history. And church history, if you've ever taken a course or ever listened to a podcast, you know, on church history, it can...
Or maybe read some blog posts that bring it home.
Or you've read... Well, those were very interesting. But you can dry church history out and not teach it in a way or show it in a way that helps people connect it with... Where we are today is because of the actions of men and women hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, that, you know, the Lord's worked through them, and the Spirit has moved through them to help His church not only endure but thrive. So church history. So we try to find some resources for church history for our kids, and we found some that were very interesting. We only have two, and there's four in the series, but there's two books that we bought that the girls really, really enjoy, and they're called Did St. Augustine of Hippo Have a Hippopotamus? And Did Martin Luther Go on a Diet of Worms? And so, you know, to try to connect Augustine to 21st century 5-year-old Emma Kate is difficult. I mean, Augustine, he is different from us in a time span of 1,700 years. He was of a different nationality, ethnicity, I mean, culture, everything. So, but what about Augustine? What did Augustine do, and what did the Spirit of God do through Augustine that affects the way we worship today? And, you know, if you look at the Reformation, kind of timely, a lot of Luther's thoughts and ideas were trying in a way to get back to some of the teachings that Augustine, you know, taught years ago. And he was trying to say, hey, let's kind of pull that back into what we believe about the scriptures today. So the author of those is, I can't pronounce his name. It's Thuy, and his last name is Vu. But he's got another one called Why Was Charles Spurgeon Called a Prince? And then another one about Amy Carmichael. So they're illustrated picture books, and like it goes through Augustine's life, kind of like his book on his confessions, kind of his autobiography, which is one of the first autobiographies of the West. It's considered the first autobiography of the Western tradition. But you know, Augustine goes through his life as a kid and how he was a pretty bad kid, and he stole fruit for the sake of stealing it and ran around with a bad group of people. Anyways, but the girls loved it, and they kind of understood who this person was. They kind of understood who Martin Luther was, and even though it's hard for them to make a direct connection, they do, I think, appreciate the lives of these men who seem so far removed from them.
Yeah, that's good.
So yeah, those are two things that we used, at least from a narrowly defined church history standpoint, right, that seemed to click with our kids.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think church history can't be understated, the importance of seeing it. I mean, we always talk about in history in general that if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it, right? And so understanding what the church went through and understanding where the church has been and understanding some of the amazing stories that came out of the Reformation and came out, especially the Reformation period, but and came out of just any time where the church was bottled up by persecution or bottled up by choices in doctrine and trying to fight for the truth of Scripture is so important to understand as a Christian. And so we too do the same thing. We've tried to open up our discipleship to to help our kids understand church history, especially it was super easy with the 500th year of the Reformation now behind us, or the celebration of the 500th year of the Reformation. And so that made it super easy. But we jumped in and started doing a couple books. One book that we used to help especially our little kids. So remember, my kids, we have four, three boys and a girl, currently almost 8 years old. For my boy, he'll be 8 years old in a week or so. My daughter's 5 years old. My next son is 3 years old, and the son after that is 1.5. And so we, for the younger guys, we did one called Reformation ABCs, the people, places, and things of the Reformation. And so it takes just the ABCs, A to Z, and gives a certain story or event or thing written for younger ages for each letter. And it's written by Stephen Nichols, who's the guy who does 5 Minutes in Church History as a podcast, which we love that podcast. My family loves that podcast. It's a great podcast. And so if that would be another resource, go ahead and chalk that up. But his Reformation ABCs for our younger kids was great. And it really helped them connect with some of the things that we were talking about with the Reformation at church, as well as on the blog for Bring It Home. But then another thing for the older boy, I read this book called Courage and Conviction. It's a book by Brandon Withrow. I think that's how you say his name. But that book was an interesting take on the Reformation and some of the figures of the Reformation. And so it took different people from the Reformation, and actually in a certain, using some artistic license, he wrote like actual narratives of what happened for them. And it was really, really helpful. And it was really just a good book to spend some time in and to dig into some of the Reformation history. And so those are the two that we did this year in 2017. And we're constantly looking for more stories and books that can push us into discipleship of our kids. So that was some of the ones that we did, and we're excited to look for new ones. Do you have any other categories that you try to lead your kids into in your discipleship? Is there anything else that you guys do, or any other resources that you use to try to lead them?
In a secondary way, thing we do in this discipleship, but it's discipleship in in the way of what is the end goal of what we're doing, and I'll put that in context. Every morning at breakfast, Lindsay reads poetry to the girls, and we also have some nature books, like bird books and stuff, that like backyard birds. And so Lindsay reads poetry, and it doesn't, it's like Emily Dickinson and, right, and, just a collection of poetry about the wonders of nature, the beauties of nature, about all kinds of just different aspects of life. And then these bird books that Emma Kate, our oldest, can go out and look outside the yard to identify the bird. We're trying to, in our discipleship of our daughters and our formation of their lives, yeah, we try to continually instill in them a sense of wonder and awe at existence. I mean, we tell them, okay, sometimes do you ever just wake up and you're surprised that you're here, that you're just here, and that should incur praise from you. And these things are doing, you reminded of this poem when you see this or this reminds you of a poem, or this seeing the flight of this bird or the beauty of the bird's feathers. I mean, something as small as that should instill a sense of awe, which then should lead to worship. So, in kind of an indirect way of doing so, yeah. Right, so there's really no exact resource with a title, but just those practices that form and shape their hearts and their souls is a way of discipleship. And I think Sarah and you do some pretty similar.
Yeah,
pretty similar.
Yeah, I think your thought on instilling wonder is a beautiful thought. It's something that our kids all of they do naturally, right? Because kids just naturally have this desire to learn, and they naturally have this wonder about this, about the world. And so when we grab that wonder and we can harness it, right, to help them see just how great and awesome our God is, it's really helpful. And so there's a couple things that we do that Sarah does, just like you said, Lindsay does the morning for. But Sarah does it also. She, especially morning times, but, one of the things that we like to do is we read a book by Sally Lloyd-Jones called Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing. And it's based on the Psalms, but it's really good, really beautiful writing to try to just impress upon the children, just the beauty of this world, the beauty of creation, the beauty of God. And I love that book. And then, but also we do, Sarah started this new thing that she's done. It's called an adventure journal. And this adventure journal that she's just recently purchased, she does every day with the kids. And essentially it's teaching the kids to kind of think through their day, to think how it went, to think about what they did, to remember, just what the blessings were of the day and what the hardships were of the day and how they handled them and things like that. It's a book that's put together by, Karen Scott is her name. But so Sarah goes through this each day with the older two kids. And, one of the questions in there is, you know, what did you like best about today, and what was the hardest part of today? But then also, how did you respond emotionally to those things? And so they talk about, you know, this made me happy, and then this made me sad, or this made me angry. And when she gets a chance to talk with them about these emotional responses that they had, she also has an opportunity then to bear God's word to those emotions and to those responses. And it's been really, really good to have Sarah have that opportunity to dig deeply into the soul and into the heart of our kids. And then it allows them to afterwards turn to God and see his purpose for their emotions and his desire for their responses. And so that's been a beautiful resource that Sarah found started here in 2018. And then lastly, the last thing that we like to do, I know we've talked about this before, so all of these resources are assuming the other blog or the other podcasts that we've had. So reading scripture, praying together, and singing. Those are the staples of family worship. Things that we do all the time for family worship is we read through scripture. We read scripture over our kids. We pray together and we sing together. Those are essentials. Those are the essentials of family worship. But this is where we're wanting to just instill things that are going to help solidify discipleship and solidify their faith. And so one of the other things that we really like to do is to find opportunities to do more of a systematic type theology with our kids, finding ways to help them just think in logical terms about who God is and how he works and what he does. And so we actually do a book. We found a book by I can't remember his name now, Orlovsky, I think is his last name. But the book is called Theology. And I cannot recommend this book enough. It's Marty Machowski. I got it completely wrong.
I know that is. You did. Marty, if you're listening, Steve is sorry.
Sorry, Marty. It's not your fault. It's mine. But anyway, so Marty Machowski, he wrote this book called Theology, and it is a fantastic book. It takes about 2 minutes to read two pages to your kids, and each page is a new area of systematic theology written in such a way that our kids grasp it and our kids understand it. And it's got beautiful art in it, and the way that he writes is encouraging to our kids. They understand it not so much just by understanding the words, but they really connect with the stories that he uses, and they connect with the examples that he uses within those. And so it's been so good to walk through this is who God is. This is what happened in this life, and this is where sin has ruined all of this created order, and this is where God then made a decision to send his son Jesus into the world. And to talk about it more in a logical sense has really helped us to bring it to bring discipleship full circle in a sense. And so that's been a really helpful book as well. So totally recommend the book, Theology.
Yeah, I'll have to write that down.
Yeah, make sure you do. And make sure you write down Marty Machowski and not some other crazy name, like I said.
I don't even know what you said. That was just...
Yeah, we may just have Gabby edit that out. We'll see. We'll see if she's going to be nice to me or not.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we just wanted to, I think this will be an ongoing conversation where we talk about resources but we wanted to get a chance to just talk about a few resources in the new year that might be helpful to listeners for discipleship. It might be helpful to round out their discipleship. And so, I wanted to, get a chance to just, I guess, not know what I'm going to say here.
Well, we can you know, tell to the listeners, you know, these are our resources, but contribute to the list. You know, you and I have younger kids, if you have teenagers or preteens and you have something that you've seen work really well and that your kids have really bought into and believed in, then share it, you know, put it up on the blog, comment and let us know, not only for everybody else, but for you and I, because we're going to hit those years sooner than we think.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a running, resource list on the website. We have a running resource list for Christmas, resources. We have a running one for Easter resources. But we also have a running just book list on the website that you can go and take a look at. But we'd love to add more. And so that was a great opportunity to ask you, the listeners, to contribute to what we're doing over at Bring It Home. Tell us the books that you read. Go over to the Facebook group and tell us the books that you guys are reading for the sake of discipleship. That's a great idea. Yeah. Anything else that you want to say to the listeners before we... there's one more thing that we tend to do at the end of our, and I have a couple for you.
You got me
quite yet for this, but,
No, I didn't.
So what we do is we have a segment called the Bring It Home segment. At the end of each of our podcasts, we try to do just a little game, where we ask questions about a current event or ask questions about, something that we've seen in the news and how would we handle that in speaking to our kids. And so we ask questions on hard topics and we ask questions on easy topics, just depending on what comes to mind. But Brian doesn't know any of the ones I'm going to ask. And if he comes up with one, I don't know what it is either. But we always ask this. And so I'm going to ask Brian first. And if you come up with one, then you can return it. But he's got 15 seconds to answer, or at least to start his answer. And so my question for you, Brian, is this. In the news right now is a very large conversation happening that started months ago with the Me Too campaign on Twitter, right? Like the women who are coming out now with you know, stories of times when men have in some way or another either sexually abused them or hurt them in a way that made them feel uncomfortable or asked them to do things that they didn't want to do, whatever it was. There's many stories in there and they're appalling if you get into reading them, and I don't recommend reading them. But it's a great conversation that's happening right now in the world. And so I want to know from your perspective, especially with so many girls, how do you intend, because I know they're young now, but how do you think about the Me Too campaign and what's happening and just that conversation about protecting women and women feeling the need to be protected, as well as just the conversation that's happening around sexual abuse? It's a hard hitting one, man.
That's hard hitting. Yeah, but it's intensely personal.
It is.
With three little girls and you have a daughter too, so it's
absolutely
it's near and dear to both of our hearts and minds. But you know, you could do an entire podcast on that
topic. We might have to be stalling though, it sounds like.
Yeah, but in 15 seconds I tell them this, you know, don't do not let men deface you. And when I say that, make them treat you like subjects, not objects. Mm. We are subjects, persons, and the Me Too movement has shown that this the sexual revolution has turned many times men seeing women as simply objects.
Yeah.
And when you deface someone like that, then you can treat someone in many different and degrading ways because they are no longer a subject. They are an object. And so abusing them sexually is no more than spitting in their face. The morality of it becomes the same. But we know that something much deeper is happening when it comes to sexual assault and things like that than just right. simply, you know, spitting on someone's face. So, and then I would tell them when they would get much older that, you know, a sexual morality based only and solely on consent is a moral vacuum, and there is no good that will come of that when that's the minimal entry requirement, the minimal moral condition is simply a yes or a no, then you've emptied sexuality of all that it has intended to be and God intended right. it to be. So yeah. that's in a nutshell, that's what I got.
Yeah, and I think it's what you said is great. And I think what's important to understand right now, I think, as parents, is that there's a conversation on purity that's happening. This is ultimately a conversation that's going to lead to what is the source of man, of the way that men look at women, and what is the source of this objectifying of women. And I think it's going to come down to sexual purity from the early stages of young men, especially, I mean, even getting into my son's age at eight years old.
Yeah.
It begins there, and it's such a conversation on purity that needs to be happening. And so you're right to instill upon your girls that they are the subject. They are to be not an object and not to be objectified by men, but instead they should be the subject that is sought and deeply understood.
That's right. The subject of their affections, the beloved.
Really yeah. helpful.
Yeah.
So good job. Did you have one for me, or should we just sign off?
No, you exhausted all my intellectual capabilities in that one yeah. question. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm dead. I'm gone.
That's what I was going for. That was kind of a mic drop. Oh, all right, brother. Okay. Well, if you want to catch up with us anywhere else, don't forget to go over to Facebook or go over to the blog at justbringithome.com. But we're signing off for now, and we're back.
Bye, guys.